Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to suck it in. This is Penn
Sunday School. That surprised you a little bit when it started?
A little bit. I knew we were in range.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School. I'm Matt Donnelly. We're broadcasting from Show Creator Studio South here in Las Vegas, Nevada. This week, Penn celebrated the Las Vegas Aces WNBA Championship. Did the parade. You did everything with that, right? Yeah?
Sure.
Here he is, preaching the love. Your biggest sports fan, Penn Jillette.
I'm preaching love. What were you talking about?
Our Aces. Our WNBA team.
Aces?
We won. What's the championship?
WNBA? Women's?
Women's basketball.
Oh yeah, it was on the front page. I look at the local paper, you know.
Yeah.
I figure I want to be a citizen.
The RJ, as we call it out.
The RJ, the
Review Journal.
Review Journal. Yeah. And I look at it every day, you know.
Yeah.
But the front page stories, like five of them, are sports.
Yeah, because
a reporter was knifed to death.
Yes.
Knifed to death. It was national news, front page of the New York Times, and still, Raiders country. He worked at your fucking paper.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It is, and that case is bizarre.
Because
the guy, Jeff something, I'm trying to remember, Jeff Gorman.
Yeah.
He reported on a lot of mafia stuff. So when he got stabbed, a lot of people thought, uh-oh, one of his old mom stories has come back to haunt him.
But it was a public servant.
It was an elected official.
Elected official who didn't like the bad press he was getting.
He wore like a weird hat.
Yeah.
It was a weird...
He wore like an outdoor working person hat.
Yeah.
Like, you know, landscapers.
Yeah.
Because it's now 125 degrees here. They have to essentially wear tents on their head.
We've talked about this before, but we assume... that because of movies and television, that to pull off any kind of crime, you're going to be somewhat sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy put on a big hat and a weird outfit and then pulled into his actual car and drove off with his license plate in full view of the cameras.
There was a story about a police officer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who kept the receipts for the poison he bought. Remember that story? Remember that? We were talking about that?
I don't know that story.
I think we talked about it here. A police officer.
Okay.
Fed poison donuts to his wife, right?
Oh.
But his wife didn't eat the poison donuts. They were left for his children. And his children reached for the donuts. And the nanny said, donuts aren't good for you. And threw them in the yard where the local dogs ate them and all died. So they found these dead dogs, and they traced it back to poison donuts, right?
Oh.
Okay. The guy was a police officer. He had the receipts for the poison in his wallet. Take him off of his taxes? It's very clear to me. I mean, this is Leopold and Loeb.
Yeah.
Incidentally, remember, David Bowie called Penn and Teller the Leopold and Loeb of magic. But it seems like, as I get older, I don't like any movies. I go, oh, they're great. Yeah, fine. Yeah. Who cares? But I don't get sucked into them.
No.
But still, any movie you make about Leopold and Loeb, there have been four or five, I've liked every one of them.
I'm completely unfamiliar.
Leopold and Loeb?
Yeah.
Leopold and Loeb were two smart-ass college students.
Uh-huh.
Who, after reading a lot of Nietzsche and stuff, decided they would kill someone weaker than them just to show they could get away with it. Now, the fact that we know their names means they didn't. And so Leopold and Loeb, I think it was in Chicago or something.
Yeah.
There was an Orson Welles movie called Obsession.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Neil Patrick Harris movie called like Leopold and Loeb. The movie Rope by Alfred Hitchcock
Yeah.
is based on Leopold and Loeb.
Wow.
They just, you know, it's like Ed Gein, you know, Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like every monster movie, every, you know, killer slasher movie comes from that one guy.
Yeah.
One fucking guy. And there's like 200 movies, more, probably more, based on Ed Gein in some way or another. You know, he cut off the faces of his people and wore them like masks.
Yes.
His victims.
Signs of the Lambs, a little bit of that in there.
What's that?
Signs of the Lambs.
Yeah, all that shit. Yeah. And Leopold and Loeb, two smart guys, you know, too smart for their own good.
Yeah.
Who decided they would kill a classmate just to show he was weaker and they could get away with it.
Ugh.
They get caught.
Now, are there any of the movies good?
All of them.
They're good.
I believe if you make a movie about Leopold and Loeb, it's good.
It's guaranteed good.
Yeah. But you know the movie Rope.
Yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock, all one shot.
Yes.
Not actually one shot. They didn't reload the cameras.
Editing techniques,
But there's like four. It's not like the Birdman.
You know, yes.
Which they pretended was one shot, but they did all this cheating shit.
Yeah.
All a lot of cheating shit in there.
You believed Rope was one shot.
Rope was, they had to reload the cameras.
Yeah.
So they had to do a cut. So there are the number of cuts that a 20-minute reel would take to load the camera.
Oh, I didn't know it was right on the mark.
Yeah, they have to. Not right on the exact second.
But
they had to do
in that range.
But yes.
So they were trying to be honest to the concept with as little cheating as possible.
Well, yeah. Well, also at that time, cheating was wicked hard.
Right.
Really hard.
Because they basically would pan like past like a big column or something, right? And then you could stop on the column.
Yeah.
Reload and keep panning and that kind of stuff. Birdman, you don't think for a second that they actually was shot.
I thought the whole time it was actually shot in one shot. And then someone who edited it said, you're stupid.
And 1918 certainly feels like it's one shot.
Oh, yeah. That
1918, yeah.
That was really well done, though.
Yeah. I didn't see 1918. It's amazing, right?
Yeah. I think.
And then the opening of The Player and the opening of that Orson Welles movie. What is it? Brady's going to say it in just a second. but the Orson Welles, where Orson Welles plays the villain. And they go across the border to Mexico.
Oh, you're not talking about Citizen Kane.
No.
Okay.
I guess when you say Orson Welles movie, you're only talking about Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
But Rope.
Yeah.
Is they do amazing stuff like.
Is it the Asti Spumante commercial?
No, it's
where not. Where he plays the villain.
What is the good wine takes time? Anyway. they do incredible stuff like Jimmy Stewart hits the door open and it's a swinging door. And it swings open to see the guy putting the rope in the drawer, then swings closed again. So all that had to be timed. So the actors and everything had to be timed. And there's supposedly, Alfred Hitchcock said, one shot. They were coming right toward the end of it. And, you know, the whole reel, they'd done it right. Because they had to do several things several times, right?
Yeah.
They came right toward the end of it. And a whole wall has to fly out so they can move the cameras over. So the whole wall flies out, and there's a grip just standing there. Okay, cut.
Touch of Evil.
Was that Touch of Evil? Touch of Evil has the one long shot. But you know, there's the movie Time Code. You ever seen Time Code?
Yes.
What a great movie. And that's four single shots.
Yes.
All done at the same time.
Yeah. That's neat. I like that one a lot because they cross paths.
Shot by jazz people, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah, counting it on click tracks and stuff. They got jazz musicians to put it together, to orchestrate it.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I believe it's something insane, like they used take 63. They did it like over 60 times.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's an amazing movie, Time Code.
Yeah.
I love that shit. But Rope is my favorite Hitchcock.
Yeah.
And it's not just that it's the gag of doing it all in one shot. It's the idea that that idea of Leopold and Loeb having smart people kill somebody is fascinating. And there must be a lot of cases of them getting away with it because we have stacked the deck so heavily in favor of criminals that the only way you get caught is if you're remarkably stupid.
Right.
And fortunately, most of the people that aren't remarkably stupid are law-abiding.
Right.
So it works out very well.
Yeah, exactly.
Works out very well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I've killed all the people I want to kill.
Me too. We are, in the category, I'll speak for myself,
yeah,
of stupid people who don't do crimes.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also a bunch of those.
It's like, then you know what you don't know? Like, I know I'd get caught.
Yeah. But also, have you ever been filled enough with rage that you feel like you wanted to kill somebody?
No. Yeah. I mean, I've been filled enough with rage that I wanted to hurt somebody.
Oh, yeah.
But
I've been filled with rage so much that I wanted to pout even more than usual.
Well, I'll tell you, this actually the other day, right, I met my wife, this new bagel place.
If you're thinking of killing somebody,
yeah,
probably best not to talk about it here.
Got it.
Okay, go ahead, go on.
No, I'm gonna, yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
No, no. my wife was going to pull out. We had brunch, and she went to pull out of a parking space. And the way the parking lot was a guy was wheeling into the parking lot off of a major road, right as my wife was pulling out and had to stop short.
Mm-hmm.
And that action made him take it as a personal offense that my wife was trying to leave a parking lot while he was trying to pull in, made her the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually kept his truck in a position where she couldn't properly pull out.
Well, your wife's an asshole.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not trying to say this is 100% to 0%, but you know what I mean? Like,
okay,
you know, the jury would deliberate for a little while.
Yeah, okay.
But he doesn't know that that's my wife, and so I get out of my car.
You're in a different car.
I'm in a different car, because she has to go to a doctor's appointment. And then
I don't need to know why there was two cars, but it yeah, did seem a little bit opulent. But doctor's appointment makes it okay.
We've been tracking her carbon footprint, and it was too low. So I kind of get out of the car, and I kind of gesture like, just come on in. Come on into the parking lot. Go past us.
Well, he just thinks you're another guy.
He just thinks I'm another guy.
Yeah.
So he opens his truck door.
A truck.
Yeah.
We knew that. We were all picturing the truck, yeah, even before you said truck. Yeah.
Big guy, big red beard, sunglasses. Yeah, a possible pirate.
Sunglasses to cover the one eye that's gone.
And he goes, my man, why are you? He did it like a WWE guy, so I want to get it right. He was like, hey, my man, this lady can't get out of her parking space because she's driving like an asshole, but why the fuck are you involved? Like, he really like paused and then like took it to me.
Yeah.
To let you know where I've grown in terms of wanting to get in a fight or not, I applauded for him. I said, that was great. That was really good. That was a good speech. How did it feel?
Did you really?
I did. And then he started cursing at him. And then my wife finally...
started cursing at you?
Yeah.
He didn't think that you applauding for him was funny.
Yeah, yeah. No, he called me a variation of fat fuck probably like 12 times or something.
Okay. How many variations? Yeah, there are a lot of variations of fat fuck.
And I was like, hey, I've been going to the gym for like 7 weeks. No.
Was he built?
No, he had me on the size element of it. But
he was a fat fuck?
Yeah.
So he called you a fat fuck, yeah. He was a fat fuck. And did you say, look in the mirror and say that monkey face?
Are you familiar with the psychological principle of projecting?
Cause you projected about 43 pounds onto me.
So he gets out. And then
he gets out.
No, yeah,
he's out of the truck.
Yeah, and I wave like I'm not doing this. I was like, you're doing a great job. You have a fantastic day. And I get in my car.
He still did not know your relation to the alleged asshole.
Not at all. Yeah. And he will not. I will give him no information. But my wife got out of the car.
Bad move.
No. I'm sorry. Got out of the situation. She got out. She left. She went to go make her
She drove away.
She drove away.
Okay, so we know who the smart person was.
Right.
So she's on the main drag now driving.
Yes.
Right. While the two fat fucks are yelling at each other.
Yes.
Well, one fat fuck is yelling at the other fat fuck, and the one fat fuck is trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
But they're both out of their vehicles.
We've now gotten both back into our vehicles. Okay. And then I go...
But isn't there now a parking space for him right where he wants it?
100%.
That's a really nice thing.
I think so, too.
Yeah. That would make me happy. Start, stop, short, but oh, parking space.
There's actually plenty of parking spaces for him.
Oh, well, that's less good then.
Yeah, he just really just hated that my wife happened to be pulling out the same time he pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
So then I get in my car and he goes to pretend or attempt to ram my car. He tries to like drive right up on it and not let me out. At which point I rolled out my window and I applauded him again. I said, this is going great. This is going great. Look, you got it. You got me good. You know? And then I have wiggle room, so
I go to... Did you just say rolled on your window and make the gesture like...
I know. I'm such an old bad improviser. We all have electric windows now. I'm not in some old station wagon. I'm in a tiny, tiny Corolla. So even though he tried to buck me in, I have little wiggle room to get out. And so then I wheel around, and he tries to back up to...
Did you say, I may be a fat fuck, but I can fit in a Corolla? I don't need a pickup truck to drag my sorry ass around? Did you point that out?
I did. I said, look how confident I am in my penis size, I said.
You have a double axle to carry your fat ass.
And he threatens to back into my car.
Threatens.
Physically moves the car as if he might do it. And I just stopped dead as if like, go ahead. If you want to run into my car, help yourself. And then he started yelling at me again. And I just said, I love you. I love you. You're great. And I love you. And I started blowing kisses at him.
Well, you and I have to write a self-defense. You know, have a self-defense, open like a koji, what do they call it? Where people come and learn self-defense from us. The applaud method.
And he was just yelling and screaming. And steam kind of was just, he did not know what to do with being yelled, I love you, you're great, at him. And I drove away. So that's how much I've grown as a, whether I want to get into a violent situation or not. And my wife, checking back in with me, texted, she said, you did not get in a fight with that guy, did you? And I said, I told him I love him and I blew him kisses. She was very happy.
And luckily, the word kisses did not go across on the text. So she has fantasy material for a while.
It's like two men fighting over me, and then they just get the best of each other. It's pretty romantic.
Sexy.
Yeah.
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 Well, you know my Martian story.
Yeah, right. Actually, yeah. I believe I'm just directly inspired by it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making Martian noises is another possibility. Of course, that was a woman screaming at me.
Yeah.
Frail older woman screaming at me at the top of her lungs while I went, pickle, pickle, pickle,
pickle. But yeah, it was knowing that I'm not getting angry is just good.
Yeah.
There. I probably stuck around too long with the blowing kisses and I love you thing. I probably should have gotten out of the situation faster than that. But that's, I deduct points there, but I did not feel the need to get angry.
If your wife had driven away,
you
could have just kept your fat ass in the car.
I really could. I didn't have anywhere to go. I could stay there all day. That's part of why I just laughed when he blocked me in. I was like, I'm not in a rush.
I got a sandwich. I just was at a bagel place.
Yeah.
I'm not hungry. No. I don't have to pee.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I did I was flying over to the UK. One of the times I've done that, they detained me because I didn't have the proper paperwork to get in.
Uh-oh.
And I said to the guy, when I got off the airplane, I peed. As I was walking down here, I was finishing up eating a snack that I got from the airplane. And I have in my hand Moby Dick. The greatest book written in English, written, incidentally, by an American. I am very comfortable waiting here for 4.5 hours. So, go ahead. And then I sat on the floor and began reading Moby Dick. You know, if you don't have to pee.
Yeah.
And you're not thirsty or hungry.
Yeah.
And you've got a book. Block me in, red beard. Block me in.
Yarr.
Yarr. Block me in. Block me in.
Yeah. I think it's funny when people take as a drastic personal offense now. Like the littlest things go.
What color was the truck?
Black, all black.
Yeah, I was picturing. I should have tried. Did it have extra chrome added onto it?
I don't have an extra chrome. There's like extra rigging and stuff on the back and stuff.
Did it have nuts?
Did it have nuts? Like big nuts on the...
Truck nuts.
Oh, no, it did not have dangling. I don't know. I didn't notice any dangling testicles on the thing. But
Well, Godot's truck's not doing well.
Oh, no.
The red engine light has been on ever since he was sitting in that seat. But here's the interesting thing.
Yeah.
Goudeau seemed unhappy about the red of his engine light.
Yeah.
And very happy about the red of the sunset in the Grand Canyon. And I got to tell you, to me, those two reds pretty similar. He was actually back in Vegas for a day.
Oh.
Complaining to the dealer about his truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With just cause. I mean.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what's wrong with the truck.
Right.
The day that I know what's wrong with the truck. You know, if you come to me for diagnostics, yeah. Unless the truck is on fire, I probably am not going to be able to say what's wrong with it. It's your truck's on fire.
Truck's on fire.
Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah. So does it delayed him from his
plane? He's not going anywhere. So you can't be delayed.
Right.
When you're not going anywhere, you can't be delayed.
Yeah.
So he could be blocked in by Redbeard. He could still be blowing kisses. It wouldn't matter.
Goudeau could just sit there like, I don't even know where I live.
Yeah.
I got nowhere to go.
Everything's in storage. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Children's National Hospital in Washington, D.C. improves children's health by developing better treatments and technologies. Ranked number 5 in the nation, we take on the most complex, rare, and life-threatening conditions because all children deserve a healthy future. Learn more at childrensnational.org/innovation.
So you were just traveling?
Yeah, we're all tired, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah.
We're a dragon ass crew right here.
I flew to Boston. It was really a nice experience. Okay.
Yeah.
We flew to Boston because they wanted to surprise a owner of a big company.
Ah.
With he enjoys magic, and he enjoys Penn and Teller, and they thought they would surprise him. Now we had a show in Vegas the night before, and a show in Minneapolis the night after.
Oh.
So we had to fly in, and the only props we could have were pretty much what we could carry with us.
Okay.
So we have a I asked Nate yesterday so I would be prepared for this conversation today. I said, this big piece of luggage that we're carrying that goes into oversized luggage, what's that for? Because it has an ampersand spray painted on it.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
Stenciled onto it.
Whoa.
So it's ours.
Yeah.
Right? It belongs to us, so I could know what it is.
Yeah.
So I said to Nate, what's that? He said, people put golf clubs in it. So it's, you know the size.
Oh, the size of the luggage you're talking about.
Yeah.
You weren't confused that you had luggage.
No.
You're saying, when it's not for a bunch of dumb magic tricks, what's it for?
Yeah. Why does this thing exist?
Yes.
That you put in oversized luggage.
Yeah.
And we have in there two tables and props and stuff that fit as though they were golf clubs. And we showed up at the venue, and it was not a good venue. It's a place that does outdoor things.
Uh-oh.
In Boston. Okay, it's called the Lawn at the D, I think, for those Boston listeners.
All right.
It was raining, so they had put up a tent that was shaped like a Quonset hut. Kind of that kind of tent.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of white, like a white tent, like a party planning tent, like you might have for a wedding.
Yeah, like a hanging tube. You're like a hanger.
Yeah. That would fit like, if you crammed them in, 500 people maybe.
Okay.
Right? And a tiny little stage. And, you know, a sound system for a DJ. Mm-hmm. They had a clip-on lav for me, right?
No wings.
Oh, no wings. No.
No backstage.
No entrance, no backstage.
Just a platform.
A platform.
Yeah.
A small platform and a small, rather rickety platform.
Mm-hmm.
And then lights that went on and off. And we were doing a half an hour.
Okay.
Now, I have always thought that I just consider, like, some magicians, in order to do a half an hour,
yeah,
they need two tractor trailers.
Right.
They do. Driven by a red beard. And I've always liked, we can pretty much, with a half dollar, a deck of cards, an apple, some needles,
yeah,
we can do about a half an hour. If you give us a table for the cups and balls, yeah, and some plastic cups, we can probably do an hour. Right? If you give us fire permits,
yeah,
we can do 90 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. just fire permits, you can do 90 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
There might be a grasshopper. You're set.
So we went in, and there was this guy who is a close friend of mine's girlfriend's son.
Okay.
Who likes Penn and Teller. And he's 18, going to college. And he wanted to come along on the gig, which is never allowed. But I guess it's a very good girlfriend, and the guy put a lot of pressure on me. So he's coming along on the gig. So he is going for the glamour of his favorite magicians, who he's seen on Broadway multiple times, mm-hmm, doing a gig. So we're driving and we can't find where the place is. So we're in an SUV with Nate and the guy crammed in the back, me and Teller and Glenn.
Oh, is it really like along for the whole thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And we can't find the gig. Then we find the gig and it's pouring rain. So then there we are in our sneakers and jeans, walking in the pouring rain with a person with a walkie-talkie, and we go in, and it is humid and rainy, and they put the mic on me, and I'm saying, there's no monitors here, but I can't hear myself. What's that noise? And then somebody says, with a great deal of deference, as much deference as you can have, mm-hmm, when someone who's in showbiz remedial, such as me, has asked a stupid question. He goes, there's rain hitting the tent. I go, oh. So that sound, he goes, that's rain. I go, okay. So not electronic. He goes, it's rain. I go, hitting the tent. He goes, yes. I go, so it's not electronic. We can't turn it down. He goes, we aren't miking the rain. And we don't have any way to turn down the rain. I go, okay, it's rain. Yes. Okay. So.
Hey, can we turn down the rain, please? We're getting too much rain. Also, Vegas boy. What's that? It's rain. I've read about this.
Yeah. So there we are in a humid, you know, an odd combination, cold and humid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, just rain tapping a roof, I would fall asleep. I have that sound machine mode on my phone.
I mean, I guess humid and cold is fog.
Right.
So we do one of the usual half-assed rehearsals that I do. I'm going to rip cups and balls. I'm going to clear plastic cups. And I go, I'll be talking louder than this when we go.
So helpful.
Sound check is useless with me because I do everything in a mumble. And I come out and, good evening, my name is Ben. They just, all the pots just pulling down all the faders. So we do that. And then this guy who wants to see what show business is like, they put us in a empty conference room, like a gymnasium, with a table in the middle, four bottles of Coke, four bottles of Pellegrino, a bowl of trail mix, and four energy bars in a gigantic room with at one end suits hanging up like just on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then there's a table, a round table. There's six seats at it. And we go back to that room and Glenn, Teller, and Nate say, we're going to go back to the hotel for a few hours. And the woman there who's in charge of talent wrangling says, I can go out and get you some food. I go, yeah, I won't go back to the hotel. I'll stay here. So I say to the guy, you want to stay here? And he goes, oh, yeah, So you can also go to the hotel and go to where you want. He goes, I know, I'll stay here. So then I say, I'm going to eat some vegan food. Just you can get me some vegan food. She goes, okay, what do you want? I go, whatever, you know, just there's places, just get some food. So she leaves. And I'm sitting there with an 18-year-old starstruck guy in a big empty room with a little bowl of trail mix. And I open up a Pellegrino and I go, not all the shows are like this. He goes, what kind of show is this? I go, I don't know. We're doing a half an hour out of a golf bag. And I say, there's a long pause, and he goes, I said, is the rain really loud? He said, well, you heard it. You were in the room too. I go, yeah, it was a lot of rain. He goes, yeah, it's rain on a tent. I go, yeah. I'm going to do some Spanish on my computer now. He goes, okay, I'll go find a charger for my phone. I go, okay. That's his backstage experience with one of his heroes.
It's 100% real show business.
It really is, yeah. It is. Then she brings in vegan food for us, and I go, you can have the tacos, I'll have the shawarma.
Yeah.
And, oh, good, there's fries.
Yay.
That's pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah.
And chocolate banana bread, but that's not important to the story. But it's good. Then it's really a really nice feeling because we are a complete surprise. The head of the company has not been told we're going to be there.
Oh.
And none of the people that are there. It's the 40th anniversary of this corporation, all the bigwigs, you know. And these are all people standing around in a tent. And the rain has subsided somewhat. And we suit up. You know, and I don't have my mics on. I just have a clip-on mic in my suit coat. And I got, you know, some tinfoil balls in my right pocket and a deck of cards in my breast pocket. And I'm going out to do a half an hour, you know?
Yeah.
They then go, and it's in a tent in Boston, right?
Yeah.
So we're Vegas guys and we're Broadway guys, and it's completely unexpected. And the guy on stage goes, hey, we all like magic, right? And they all go, yeah, I guess. And he says, we're going to see some magic. And, you know, like anybody who would hear that, they go, oh, yeah, okay.
Here comes some motivational speaker.
Yeah, we're doing some magic. Good. And then there's no entrance. There's no backstage. There's no nothing. So the tent is crowded. And Teller and I just start pushing through the crowd. And it is an amazing feeling because it ripples go through the crowd. I mean, they really do.
Like a real buzz.
Real buzz.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we go onto that stage and they turn the lights on, which is just on and off. There's no special lights. We walk on stage and all of a sudden, it's Madison Square Garden.
Oh, man.
It's an amazing feeling. And this humid, cold room just goes, bow. And you know, some of our best stuff is out of our pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
Not true for some magicians, right. You know. But you know, the cups and balls with clear plastic cups, one of the best things we do.
Yes.
Needles, one of the best things we do.
Yeah.
You know, I did Smartass with a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Really, really good. We did Egg Bag.
Yeah.
Okay. Really, really good. Then everybody gets handed four cards. We do Love Ritual. Okay. No music, no backup, no piano. Just do it. And they go out of their fucking minds. I mean, it really is like Beatles at Shea Stadium. And I'm up on stage going, I think I like this more than Broadway. I think I like this more than our own theater in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song by Paul Simon called Late in the Evening.
Yeah.
And I went outside to smoke myself a J. Yeah. I came back in, strapped to my guitar, and I blew that room away.
Yes.
I mean, it's all I ever wanted in life is to be able to walk on stage and just say shit and do stuff that I practiced and have people really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And there's no cheat. Well, there is cheating. There's cheating because you've been on TV.
Yeah.
So there's recognition of who we are.
Yeah.
It's not walking in to that same tent completely unknown and doing it.
Right.
Which is, there's no bigger high than that.
Right.
There's no greater high than that. But we are, you know, we're known to everybody. Everybody in the room knows our names. And then when they saw us, they all recognized us. So that's a huge level of cheating. But putting that aside, just going out there and doing stuff out of our pockets, pretty much a couple of tables, three other things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then having them go wild is such a great feeling, you know? And then we go backstage, and the guy who's along, who's been sitting there, you know, eating vegan tacos while I study Spanish, kind of goes, wow. He goes, wow, that was a really good show. And I go, thanks, you know, and we take our suits off and put on our jeans. And then Teller goes, you know, that movie Nope is playing. Want to go see a movie? And the guy says, I'll get us tickets. And he opens his AMC app. And then next thing you know, we're, you know, sitting eating tubs of popcorn and watching UFO sky sucking horse jumping monsters.
Nice.
And that was the day. But it's a nice feeling. You know, I've said this many, many times. Stink of the Police said his favorite tour ever was his first tour of the United States when they were just in a van.
Yeah.
And he said we'd walk out on stage and we knew something no one in the audience knew. And that was that we were good.
Oh.
No one else knew that.
Yeah.
No one else expected it. And I remember after we'd done Broadway. Yeah, we'd done Broadway. After we'd done Broadway and Letterman a zillion times and Saturday Night Live, we booked a series over in England called The Unpleasant World of Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
Right? And things were very different. No internet. This is the 90s. No internet. Yeah. So you can do Letterman and you can do Saturday Night Live and you can do Broadway and you can be completely unknown in London.
Right.
Totally unknown.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not true now. It was true then.
Right.
We were in a TV studio, and there's a studio audience of about 400 people who've come to see this new show that's being done, right?
Yeah.
And the warm-up guy goes, we got these guys, Penn and Teller. No reaction to the names. Could just be a single word, Penn and Teller. Just saying nonsense, just syllables. And they do magic. And the audience is like, okay, we're going to see some magic. And Teller and I are backstage, and we go out to set the props in our suits to make sure things are okay before we come out. And there is no reaction whatsoever when we walk out. Oh, there's a couple of stage managers who happen to be wearing suits that are setting up a table for their first thing, making sure it's laid out, right? Yeah. No reaction at all. And I look over at Teller, 300 people watching us. I look over at Teller. Huge smile on our faces, you know? We're totally unknown, completely utterly unknown. And we go backstage, and then, you know, the announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, Penn and Teller, and we walk out, no better feeling at all than knowing, you know, like 3 minutes, they're going to be like wicked impressed because there's this shit we learned to do that we've done a lot, and we know that people like it. And now we're going to do it. So, motherfuckers, this is your last chance to not know who we are. We came out and did the show. It's such a great, great feeling.
Yeah.
You know, George Carlin hated it. George Carlin hated playing Vegas because he wanted people to arrive at his shows knowing who he was, what he did, past material, and then build on that.
Well, that's the...
He really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, but you're also, that's like a sense of earning, right?
Yeah.
You know, you earn that spot, and then you know when you come out and people like you, it goes well. One of the best things that happened to me in so many ways was Piff taking me on the road with him for my first 2 years. But I was always going out and from an audience that didn't know there'd be an opener and didn't know who I was. And I only had to do 15, 20 minutes. Right. So you're like just your best, you know, load the cannon, fire, go for it, you know? And that was really fun to just really win over people in comedy clubs and stuff like that, you know?
It's a great, great feeling.
Like, I just did a couple shows out in San Diego, and again, you're like, so much time is like, I got to talk to the audience. I just need to understand who I am. Mm-hmm. Once they figure that out, then I start going into my material and it's going to work right, mm-hmm. you know? But if I just try to go right in to my material without them getting to know me, it takes them like about 15, 20 minutes to be like, oh, this guy's not a regular magician.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the first tricks will like fall flat a little bit. And then all of a sudden by the end, they're like, that was really good. You know, whatever. It's interesting. You're always doing those dynamics or whatever, but I imagine as a comic, you just want to know who you are.
Yeah.
So you can really just start talking the way you want to
talk.
Well,
you know, Teller has always said stand-up comedy is what the ancient Greeks said about poetry.
Yeah.
Every poem answers the question, who am I?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what stand-up comedy does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it was great because, you know, we get up next morning and fly to Minneapolis, go almost directly to soundcheck.
Okay. Right.
And Minneapolis is a whole different experience because Minneapolis had been sold out 4 times.
Wow, because of COVID.
Yeah, and other stuff. So shows announced, sold out, money goes back. Shows announced again, sold out, money goes back.
Jeez.
Shows announced again, sold out, money goes back. Shows announced again, sold out, we walked out of the stage. Entirely different experience, right? Because you walk on stage, sounds perfect, lights are perfect, boom. And I said, boy, we're happy to finally do this show. And after the show.
This is your big truck show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bringing the whole thing.
Yeah. Minneapolis. Yeah, yeah. And then the funny thing is, all ties together. Our shows always tie together in perfect themes. After the show, the next day, Tana waited for the car to go to the airport to fly here to do the show last night. Guy comes up. Big red beard. He's just parked his black truck
in front of your electric car, so you can't get out of your parking space.
He comes up, goes, "Hey, Ben and Teller, I saw you last night. You're really good. And I'll tell you, I bought tickets 4 times. 4 times I bought tickets, and I finally saw you." And I went, wow, thanks. And I wonder what percentage of the audience had bought tickets every one of those
times. All 4 of those.
Probably a pretty high percentage.
I bet. Because, does Minneapolis understand your connection to that town?
Some of them. I mean, I mentioned on stage, but some of them.
Right, right. I was just curious. But
that was a long time ago. I mean, no one's old enough to really remember.
Yeah, but I know Frankie Valli's from Jersey. You know what I mean? I don't... No, but like Penn and Teller started in Minneapolis, it's got to be somewhat of a connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a little bit of a connection, yeah.
Yeah.
With Dudley Riggs and all of that. It was really nice. And we flew back here and did the show last night.
So it went longer than a half hour in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it did.
But you're like, too long. This is too long. We crushed it a half hour. I don't know why we're doing all this extra stuff.
There are people saying, just a few nuts.
Yeah.
But they're saying, you know, the 50th anniversary of you playing the Minnesota Renaissance Festival is coming up. Maybe on your 50th anniversary, you should play the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Oh, man.
And I talked to Teller, and Teller said, I'm down for
it. It's a fine idea.
It really is.
It's a fine idea.
No announcement, nothing.
Yeah.
Just out there on the stages we were on.
Yeah.
Teller with the needles, me with some knives to juggle and some juggling balls. Go out, do our 20 minutes. Boom, one show, Minnesota Renaissance Festival, 50th anniversary, gone.
The first question comes to my mind, are you going to commit to the tights or no tights? Are you going to do those weird outfits or no?
I don't know whether I'll go bottomless or whether I'll wear tights.
What did you picture you wearing? Did you picture you in the suits?
I was picturing, when I was saying that, I was picturing the suits, and that's, of course, crazy.
Yeah, you guys were in your weird Renaissance tights then.
Yeah, we could get tights. We could wear tights and little doublets, and I don't even know what the word doublet means. Do you?
Nope.
I just said it. It's important to say.
You had your striped, like, leotard tights.
Yeah, you're making horizontal stripes.
Yeah.
They were vertical stripes. Long legs made my ass look really good.
You can't trust eyewitness testimony.
No, you can't. And we had dance belts.
Yes.
You know, we had dance belts tucking in our junk.
Yeah.
As the children say.
You got to get the tea out. You got to do the tea ceremony.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should do it. I got to find out if somebody would know this, in 2025, if August 18th is a weekend, if that's a Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
And we would, I got to tell you, we will, there's no doubt about this, we will pass the hat. We will pass
the hat. Nothing would make you guys happier than passing
the hat. Oh, nothing. Do that whole change collection. Do everything.
I think the only thing nostalgic that you would get out of it is counting the money in piles.
So great. I would love to count.
You got
to
make sure you have the notebook. You got to make sure you got the whole thing.
The only thing is, I can't have a turkey leg. I'm vegan now. But they probably got vegan turkey legs.
They probably figured something like that out. Yeah. That'd be pretty great. You should, I mean, it should be documented in some way if you do it.
Yeah. Bring a film crew in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be pretty funny. Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
And it's a testament to both of you. You're still at it, and the Renaissance Festival's still going.
Yeah, we're still going strong.
Yeah.
I bet we can get booked. But we'll make the same deal as before, no parade. We would not do the fucking parade. That was the toughest negotiation of my life. Because, sorry, all performers do the parade. Oh, we're not going to do the parade. No, all performers do the parade. All performers except us do the parade. We're not doing the parade. No, you got to do the parade. I'm not doing the parade. You got to do the parade. We're not going to do the parade. Well, are you going to actually blow the gig over not doing the parade? Are you going to blow the gig over not doing the parade? Because you can't accuse me of being petty when you're arguing over the same thing. That's the thing that always amazed me. It is impossible to accuse someone you're arguing with of being petty if you're arguing with them. Whatever someone would say to me, you're not really going to blow the gig over $50. I would say, you're not really going to blow the gig over $50. If $50 doesn't matter to me, it doesn't matter to you.
Right.
Right. So you can never accuse someone else of being petty.
This is fantastic. This is the most important thing we've ever done with this podcast. That's really great.
I use that argument all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Oh, I mean, really? For $100, you're going to blow the whole gig? Oh, really? For $100, you're going to blow the whole gig? You just say it right back to them. It's obviously not petty. The stuff that's petty is the stuff I'm not arguing with you about. That's how we tell.
Yeah.
That's how we tell it's petty. But we might need to do it.
That would be it's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to pull off.
I just don't know how we get the limo to the back area there, you know?
Well, you guys coming in by helicopter, give it away.
Shakopee, shit. Every morning I wake up thinking I'll be in Saigon. And every morning I'm back in Shakopee. Minnesota, shit. I prayed for a mission, and for my sins they gave me one. I don't know.
That'd be nuts if you did it.
Yeah. Well, also another thing we fought over was parking. Parking and parades. Because there was a entertainer employee's parking area.
Oh, and it was like...
Very far away.
Very far away, yeah.
We would park right up in the front. And I would say, ye old tow us. Get ye old tow truck and ye old take our car.
That of a Jersey Boys. Jersey Boys, at one point, they became officially employees of the Venetian Palazzo, and they told the entire cast they had to park in the employee lot. Uh-huh. The employee lot's like across the street from the convention center. So no one did it, and only one guy got his car booted for doing it.
Was that the guy playing Frankie Valli?
No, they did not boot. He was an understudy.
Get your car booted. Yeah. So that was our day. Now, how did you just drove back last night?
I did. Yeah. I was doing shows out at the Prestige in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Put two new tricks into the show out there because I'm about to do a show in Lake Tahoe. When this airs, on Wednesday night, I have a show in Lake Tahoe, and it's actually the My Noodler show. So I don't have to convince them that the magician is different. They know they're coming to see my show. Mm-hmm. I've been working on a couple of new tricks, whatever. So I had to
How's it selling up in Tahoe?
Good. Right now we're like 2/3 capacity.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah. And RJ Owens is going to come out and open for me. And this guy, Steve Branham, who's magician forever used to like tour with Penguin and all this other stuff. Like, and he runs all of the Mystique venues that I play. He said he's going to come to the show. I was like, if you're coming to the show, you're going to perform. It's, to have someone who has that much magic sit and watch is silly. And so I think it's funny that we're going completely in reverse order of magic experience. The most experienced guy going first, doing the shortest amount of time, then the next experienced guy going second, doing the second shortest amount of time, and then I do the entire second half as the new guy.
Oh, don't forget, I saw Chuck Berry open for the Mothers of Invention.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, yeah. Exactly.
It's a time-honored tradition. And you told me that you had a way to stay awake without... without drinking caffeine, driving back. Is that right?
So I'm 44, right? So I was like, I wanted to come back in time. I realized I could either miss Sunday school.
What time did you get in last night?
I got in at 3:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, last night was Latin night at the club in town that Reddy works.
Yes.
So he said he got in so late that he started his dishwasher when he went to bed, and it was still going when he woke up. That's a bad night.
That's a bad night. Because, bad night. Ready, that's called a nap. That's not called sleep.
Oh.
So how did you didn't do like five Red Bulls?
Well, no, I didn't want to do that because then I wanted to not be so jacked up when I got home that I couldn't sleep when I got home. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't want to have ready amount of sleep coming into today. And I just don't feel like jacking up my system with caffeine anymore. Mm-hmm. So what I normally take during the day, I took my blood pressure medication at night because I figured it's a diuretic and I'm not going to fall asleep at the wheel if I really have to pee all the time.
So did you have to stop and pee all the time?
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
And so you were staying awake going, how long can I go before I have to stop?
Yeah. But when you're driving late at night, pulling over to pee, very easy. During the day, it can be a little more difficult and suspect.
You didn't even go into a rest area.
No. Just, I was keeping that time, keeping my time going.
Yeah. In your little Corolla.
In my little Corolla.
Redbeard had blocked you in when you were leaving to come home.
Yeah.
Would have been more trouble.
It would have been much more trouble, especially with the diuretic kicking in. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of was like, I looked at my meds and I was like, am I really going to do this? I can stay up. Whatever. I was like, nope, just do it. Just take it.
That is a very odd kind of drug abuse. An off-label use.
Off-label use.
Of blood pressure medication.
Yeah.
And you've learned so much this show. You've learned about Petty.
Yes.
And you've learned about diuretics as a driving aid. So that was Penn Sunday School.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha-cha-cha.
And to our listening,
you become naked. So ready is August 18th, the weekend in 2025.
It's a Monday.
That was Penn Sunday School. That was Penn Sunday School.
You know we love you. Hey, Matt Donnelly, you got anybody to thank?
Yeah, I want to thank the five people who support us over at patreon.com/pen. These are loyal members of the congregation. That tier is available there. I want
when
to
are we going to do that special little talk thing?
Oh, well, you just got back. I'm going to talk to Glenn and figure it out.
Okay, good.
But yeah, anyone who's a member of our Patreon, we're going to have a Zoom hang for Penn's book. Now that everyone's getting the book. A lot of people are getting the book. We want to wait for that to happen. But now people are getting it and reading it and loving it. And these people might join us on Zoom to talk about random. This is Mason Gooch, Vaughn DJ Double Chicken Beerhoff, Sagebrush, Matthew Mikehood, Luke Mellon, Spencer Blair, Eileen Hunter, Samuel Stewart, Ken Krovchuk, Jason Andrew Davidson, Peter B. Clark, Average Seal, Ben Price, Matt Williams, plus $110 boner office, Soapy Fresh, Dan Griffith, Brad Sherlag, Mike Cavanaugh, why am I having a hard
time? Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm reading right now. It's probably the diuretics. Rafiki, Steve Feldman, Jonathan P., NewRuleFX.com, Eric M. Ryan, Chris Tehachapi Loop McKinney, Gary Cornley, Danny Hey Goudot, Does This Rag Smell Like Chloroform to You, Ruse, Matthew O'Sullivan, and Betsy Batter. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
While every other pizza company out there is trying new things on top of their pizza, Papa John's just flipped pizza night on its head by doing something completely new on the bottom. Introducing the new Crispy Parm Pizza with a layer of buttery toasted Parmesan cheese baked on the underside of our signature thin crust. That's because we know the first thing your tongue touches when you take a bite is the bottom. So try the new Crispy Parm Pizza from Papa John's. It's flippin' awesome.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.